Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. Father, we thank you for that basic, foundational, awesome truth. The price has been paid. We have been redeemed. And Lord, there is no shortage of power or supply of the atoning blood of Jesus Christ for every one of my sins, past, present, and future, and every one of everybody's sins of all times, past, present, and future. You are an awesome God. Help us to walk in victory, Lord. Help us not to get bogged down with the flesh and all of the things that come out of that, Lord. Guide us in this time this morning as we once again look at your scripture for a few moments and are always so cleansed and refreshed by your word and how we thank you for it. So lead us now by your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going all the way forward to one more chapter in the book of Numbers today. So we're in Numbers, actually two chapters, I guess, Numbers 14. So a couple of questions. How do you handle fear? What kind of decisions do you make when you're under an extraordinary amount of fear? We will see Israel's distrust of God. We will see Israel's unbelief in God and the cost of unbelief. I want you to consider this morning as we go through this prayer, what is your level of unbelief? And most of us would say, well, I believe, I always believe. Man, my faith is rock solid. And when times are good, that's probably true. At least the perceived faith we have is probably pretty strong. But how about those times when you get just all kinds of things go wrong and you get bad news and everything around you is falling apart? And you know, then you get a doctor that comes along and tells you that you've got a terminal illness, you're going to die. You know, I always just chuckle when I hear that. Do you need a medical degree to be told that you're going to die? You're linked to Adam. You're all going to die, 100 out of 100. And God's got your days numbered, so get over it, right? But you get the bad results and you get the bad tests and there just looks like there's no way out, right? And now where's your faith? We still believe that God created the heavens and the earth. We still believe that Jesus paid it all, don't we? But is he really going to pay attention to me right now in this mess? Because it doesn't seem like it, because things are only getting worse. And I've been praying and it's just getting worse and worse. Then where is your level of decisions and where is your level of faith? As I mentioned, we're in chapter 14 today. Yesterday we were in chapter 12 and we had that jealousy and envy, if you remember, of Aaron and Miriam, jealous of Moses. And we saw how that was so devastating to them because of their jealousy and envy. And we saw how Moses handled that and how, relatively speaking, quickly he came from a position of really being under attack and hurt to forgiving and praying for them. And so the question yesterday was, how long does it take you to go from a position of being attacked to a position of forgiveness and prayer for those doing the attacking? We have gone on to chapter 13 where they sent out the spies. How many days? 40 days to spy out the land. And the spies came back and they found a grapes, apparently the cluster of grapes was so big that they had to carry it on a pole between two men. So the land was fruitful, no question. But then they said, there are giants in the land. We would be like grasshoppers before them. And so 10 of the 12 spies brought back a bad report. Only two, as you know, Joshua and Caleb, brought back a good report. And so the people freak out. They're scared to death. Now, where is their trust on God? Now, they've had miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. You know, people today say, if I could just see a miracle, then I would believe. Don't buy that at all. Israel saw all the miracles in the world, and they still would fall away in disbelief, wouldn't they? We see then that in chapter 14 it begins, so all the congregation, now that's quite a few, isn't it? Maybe 1.5 million, whatever. That's a pretty big group. All the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, they just had the meat from the quails, right? They just had the interceding of Moses in the past. And, you know, one night after the other is nothing but murmuring and complaining. By the way, how is your level of murmuring and complaining? And who do you do that to? Take your murmuring and complaining to the Lord, but don't take it to one another, because it's so contagious and it just goes like a fire, right? But they would murmur and complain over and over again. And so verse 2, and all the children of Israel complained. All of them complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, now listen to this. This is really an intelligent statement to me. If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. So what's the deal? They're afraid of dying, but they're saying if only we had died already. Now, how is that for logic? It just tells you that when you're in fear, you make really poor decisions. So they said, if only we had died in Egypt or in the land of wilderness, and why has the Lord brought us to this land? How many times are you asking God why? Why, God? Why, God? Why, God? I don't understand you, God. Of course you don't. You never will. If we had a God who you could understand, he would be the same size as your brain. That wouldn't be a very big God, would it be? And a God who couldn't know in advance what's going to happen, that's not the God we have. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua and Caleb spoke to the congregation, gave them this, rehashed this good report. And what was the response in verse 10? And all the congregations said, let's stone them with stones. Boy, this is a rebellious group, isn't it? My. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? It's question number one. In other words, how long will they distrust me? Question number two, how long will they not believe me? I can just imagine that question possibly has come up when the Lord thinks of me, although he knows everything about us, right? But how about my unbelief? How about your unbelief? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I performed among them? I will strike them with pestilence and disinherit them. I will make of you a nation greater than mightier than they. So here's the second time under this extreme problem that God has told Moses, I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to make you the new nation. Again, testing Moses, in my opinion. But Moses passes the test again. He does not go for that, but he says, Lord, you can't wipe us out, because then the Egyptians will hear it. For by your might you have brought these people up from among them. Now we've got your honor at stake here, and if you wipe them out, everybody will say you weren't able to do it. The Lord wasn't able to bring them into the land. You, Lord, are among those people, and you, Lord, are seen face to face. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land. Now Moses goes to prayer. Verse 17, awesome. And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great. When's the last time you prayed that the power of the Lord would be great? That's what Moses prayed. Just as you have spoken, saying. Now he repeats the name of Yahweh here again, as he previously had given us in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. At that time it was, what is my name? And he said, here is my name, and he says it again now. The Yahweh is long-suffering and abundant in mercy. That's our God. Long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. But he by no means clears the guilty. There is judgment for those who are disobedient. There's judgment. He by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation. Now here is again back to the prayer from Moses. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. Now I love prayers when we get the answer right away, and here's the answer. Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Do our prayers change the mind of God? No, I don't think so. Who puts it in our heart to pray anyway? It's God, doesn't he? But God is just looking for any kind of plea of forgiveness or whatever, and he always responds to that. So he says, Then the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So he's going to do this for his own glory. Because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness have put me to the test. These 10 times have not heeded my voice. Here's the consequence of their sin. They certainly shall not see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me wholly, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants will inherit it. Now, verse 25 is kind of a tragic verse. They're up at Kadesh Barnea. They're right at the entrance to the promised land. But because of their unbelief, now it says, they turned. It says, tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by way of the Red Sea. They're going back into the wilderness for 38 years. Actually, 40, 38 from this point. And why is it 40 years? Well, it tells us right here. It says, for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness. Your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness. A 40-year funeral march, in other words. Why? Verse 34, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 years for 40 days, you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed. There they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. Now this is interesting. I don't know if you knew this or not. Those 10 guys, what happens to them now? They're wiped out. Those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, remained alive of the men who went out to spy out the land. So what do we have here? Unbelief will cost them everything. Jesus paid it all, as we sang earlier. But unbelief in that will cost you everything, right? You know, a lot of us get caught up in the end times and, you know, when is Christ coming back? And what about the tribulation and so forth? And will that happen in my lifetime or won't it? And I don't know the answer to any of those things, but I do know this. If I'm in Christ, I'm safe, no matter what. If I'm not in Christ, I'm lost, no matter what. It doesn't matter all these other details. I'm going to die in this body. You're going to die in your body. And then if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and have confessed to him your sins and have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, as you well know, you're promised a glorified body, eternal in the heavens, to forever be with the Lord. And nothing can change that. No government can change that. Nothing can change that. That's victory, isn't it? Isn't that exciting? But unbelief will cost you everything. And so it costed in a type here in the wilderness march, this promised land experience for the nation of Israel will not be realized by everybody 20 years and older. They will all die in the wilderness except two. So we could go on and on into this study. But be careful with your mistrust of God, subtle or not so subtle, and be careful with your unbelief. Amen? And when you're fearful, be really prayerful, because you're going to be making some bad decisions under fear if you rely on that. I don't know how many of you can think back to the last time you really blew it. Probably earlier today. But, I mean, you were lower than a snake, right? I mean, how could I have done such a stupid thing? And man, now the world's falling down on me because it's just so bad, right? Haven't we all been there, done that? We need to pray and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. May those who I have hurt, take care of them. And, Lord, get me back up on my horse again or on my feet again or whatever and just move forward. Amen. So here we are. We got a lot to pray for today. Second full day of the conference for the speakers today, for the Lord to meet our needs here and each individual one, and for the nations for sure, for kings and those in authority, for the church. We need to pray for the church. I would like to ask you today, as we pray in this group, we'll have individual prayer times, two on two, a little later on. So be careful on how you pray now in this group. Keep them short, and if you pray more than twice, you're kind of sending the message out that you're really a special prayer warrior, that nobody else quite has that same relationship with the Holy Spirit, and I don't think that's true. I think everybody in here has exactly the same relationship with the Holy Spirit. So if we're dominating the prayer, we're really robbing from those who haven't had a chance to pray yet. So if the Spirit's moving you to pray, pray. But if it's the third and fourth and fifth time, then you're taking somebody else's time. So just keep that in mind. And we can keep the Spirit, I think, at a very strong level here this morning, because God wants to hear our prayers, and He's going to answer those prayers. What does it say in 1 John 5:14? This is the confidence that we have. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, He will grant us the petitions that we ask. Father, we thank You. I thank You for these precious ones here early this morning who are here and are here for one reason. They want to pray to You. And Lord, lead us and guide us that our prayers would be effective, not because of our great faithfulness, because we're so weak, but because of Your great faithfulness, Lord. So if we just utter or stammer or short whatever, Lord, we just want to cry out to You now as You lead us to cry out. May we pray.